Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here to share with you what we've been doing in Duval County. That's Jacksonville, Florida. And we were fortunate to receive one of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grants for local health departments to do quality improvement. We have here a list of the collaborators that we have. We've kind of moved from a evaluation team to a kind of participatory research team of all the people that are involved in the QI working with the evaluation team, and we have very regular meetings, and that means pretty much weekly. In regard to personal disclosures, I have no commercial relationships, but I'm employed by the Duval County Health Department, the University of Florida's College of Medicine Jacksonville, the Center for Health Equity and Quality Research, and Georgia Southern University's Jinping Su College of Public Health. Our presentation, the purpose is to describe an overview of our immunization project, to share our early successes and lessons learned, and to explain an evaluation approach and its implications, and to discuss our current status, and to basically draw some conclusions that are particularly emphasize some of the lessons learned related to moving from large-scale quality improvement to small-scale, rapid quality improvement. The goal of the project was to improve immunization rates in Duval County, primarily focusing on the county health department's clinics. We have quite a few clinics. Our thought was we couldn't really do a whole lot in the county without getting our clinics functioning, and we focused on the two-year series. And we initially said we were going to focus on the data related to not up-to-date rates, the missed opportunities, and the increased use of reminder recalls. Whoops. Okay. This chart basically shows kind of the progress that we've made here. That dark blue line is the line for our pilot site, which was at 74% for the two-year-old immunization rates starting out, and in September we were up to 89%, so we were getting very close to the 90%. In fact, I got an email correcting me that I should modify our presentation to say that we were at 90%. I don't know if it was rounding up or rounding down, but our service line manager wanted us to show 90%. The overall health department's rate is in that reddish line. That is more in the 75. It's started to move up now into the 80%. So one of the critical issues here is diffusing the innovations that we've started in the pilot site and getting them to the other sites. But even more important than that is, again, moving to a small-scale rapid cycle problem solving using primarily a PDSA model. This is more for effect. I don't expect you to be able to read it. I can't read it myself, and never have been able to read it, actually. This is a fishbone diagram, and this came out of a root cause analysis of all the problems that were related to our immunization, and this was working with our initial pilot QI team. And then we moved to a Pareto chart to diagram, in effect, what those main causes were. And I'm just showing you those related to PDSA, and here are four of our main PDSA activities. Number four is improving communication with parents. That came out of the root cause analysis. We've actually done a lot in regard to that. The reminder recall was something else, and using that data and focusing more on that with a QI team. We also, one of the problems was the lack of capacity. The clinics are very stretched, and being able to be more efficient and effective in the clinics by having some of the health, the techs, and so on, being able to administer the immunizations, that would involve then training them and so on. So we've actually gone into a training process and are pretty well along with that. The number one, though, missed opportunities, is actually where we're looking for the rapid cycle improvement to occur, and it to occur at all of the clinic levels. And that's where we're really going to see the movement from the small QI to the large QI. So our evaluation model was really a mixed method model using logic modeling and looking at QI as an intervention related to the immunization rates. We had a lot of qualitative interviewing and analysis of data. The evaluation metrics were primarily related to immunization rates, missed opportunities, and the reminder recall data. Our early conclusions, and we've gone through, we're kind of going into a third cycle. Our early work was with this pilot team. It was primarily with the pilot team. And we found that the QI office was highly engaged. The key leaders were identified and involved. The team membership was identified, and we implemented a well-defined PDSA structure, as you saw from some of those diagrams. And the immunization rates in the pilot clinic improved in the first 3 months and then leveled off a little bit. Our early emergent issues involved kind of an external versus internal locus of control. When we got into some of the root cause analysis and that fishbone analysis and all, there was a lot of everybody else was to blame. And there was a lot of pushback about hierarchical decision making. Clearly, the organization, we were in very dire revenue straits, and the priority was on revenue within the organization. And that has major implications when you're trying to do QI, because anything that takes away from generating revenues in a clinic is perceived to be an undesirable activity. We also got into this issue of we could do really well-developed QI processes, but there wasn't a sense within the organization at all that there was a QI culture. And there was a need for training. And even when we looked at even doing QI team building and so on, there's basic skills in group communications, group interaction and everything, and they were not very much here within a very hierarchical institution. And this issue of staff empowerment was part of the issue. We had a formative evaluation loop, which was very much a part of this, and we started to get more in this kind of first cycle. Our conclusions were that PDSA should focus on immediate factors that can be changed by the staff. So the idea that blaming it on all kinds of other people was basically not really QI, that we needed to focus on what they could change, and for instance, looking at the medical records and changing things there. QI should focus on frequent small-scale problem-solving with frontline staff. That was another conclusion from this early part. And the QI office should shift from a QI expert. These are QI, and we used to have like 10 people in that office. It's down to like two now. They're experts, and they are well trained. They're Six Sigma belts and all kinds of things, but they're very into their processes, and there's some pushback in regard to that. And there needs to be much more focus on empowering staff to engage in regular use of very basic PDSA instead of highly sophisticated PDSA. So the clinic team should regularly review records, identify problems, and take corrective actions. The major focus in the last 10 months, we've shifted more towards, as we had this initial success, the enterprise level team problem solving really, really started to increase. In fact, in the organization's strategic planning efforts, there were three organizational service lines, and immunizations became one of those three cross-organizational service lines. We got into regular and frequent meetings with a lot of the major staff people within the organization. The champions became even more highly engaged in problem solving and so on. There was also this issue of evidence-based interventions. When you do kind of brainstorming, problem solving, and so on, it doesn't necessarily result in evidence-based problem solving. So that was kind of an issue, and I'm going to come back to that. And we needed to continue to refine and clarify the use of data, because you don't necessarily, with a lot of root cause analysis, end up having data-driven issues. Developing this dissemination for the plan for all the clinics, it was kind of an assumption that our QI staff would have a role for doing that, and it became very clear that we really needed to have a much more defined plan for that. And that led into this designing and deploying a rapid cycle PDSA, and we use this focus on using missed opportunity data to identify the problems, develop and clarify consensus on what it was. And so we really had to pull the service line team together to make that happen and to develop a project plan to implement in each clinic. We actually had to get into a real project management kind of approach to shifting from this large-scale quality improvement to this rapid cycle quality improvement. This logic model is, we've all seen the PDSA logic models. A lot of times the planning stage actually has three or four actual steps in regard to it. And here what we're illustrating here is this concept of using logic modeling in the early stages, not just, in other words, basing on root cause analysis of all the staff's perceptions as to what's there, but actually ground it more in some kind of logic model that kind of provides a focus of why we're there. And also then this idea of using data to assess the status and refocusing on data, making sure. So that was something that we really kind of forced, I think, much more with the evaluation that really didn't come so much from the Quality Improvement Office. And then building that into the PDSA process. These are a couple logic models that we have. And our original PDSA had kind of had the clinic staff kind of talking about the parents and the children and how they're not cooperative and don't do what needs to get done. And then, of course, there was all the senior management and all the management, the policies and everything that all prevented them from doing the right thing. And that's what all the causes were of the lower immunization rates. We kind of shifted this logic model around more towards this concept of the PDSA related to what the clinic staff's behaviors were, and that was more related to record management and data-driven decision making, and to focus on the immunization rates. We didn't find anywhere near as much literature and as much emphasis on rapid cycle PDSA. So we've kind of struggled a little bit more with that, and so our concept of it is to use Plan, Do, Study, Act on the front line to rapidly solve problems. So not going into these, you know, setting aside a retreat or other kinds of things, it needs to be done on a very regular basis. To focus on each problem anytime it occurs and to prevent it from happening again. So it's kind of a little bit more that Six Sigma kind of philosophy. And create ownership of a clinical or service line problem by everyone who is involved. So that's kind of that where we're getting into that rapid cycle problem solving. So in moving from the large-scale PDSA to the rapid cycle PDSA, this concept is going from the projects to the culture. I mean, that's where the rapid cycle, we feel that the rapid cycle is going to get us much more to the culture. We're really in that third phase, that's the kind of the major phase that we're looking forward to. But we're really getting a lot of, I guess it's anecdotal information, but it seems like there is much more of a growing QI culture related to this. Where there's less of a reliance on innovators and early adopters. And that was something that, you know, that, I'm not sure where that comes from, but it seems that our QI office basically emphasized that we had to get the key people, the leaders, and so on. There's kind of a belief that then it'll emerge or be diffused in the organization. And so we're coming with more of a much more planned effort for all the staff to be involved, and that's kind of going with this rapid cycle training, each clinic, the teams in each clinic, all the people that are touching this being trained in this rapid cycle problem solving. And it's basically around this missed opportunities. Also, the use of data, the focus on data moves from kind of this focus on doing a statistical analysis and looking at, you know, all the major causes to, again, focusing on each incident. We're using the data, though, and using software and using COCASA and using linking it with, we've had our statistical people linking the COCASA data with our claims management system to identify people who came into our clinics who didn't get an immunization, and our immunization registry doesn't do that. They'll identify somebody that didn't get all the immunizations, but they won't identify the people that came for something other than an immunization. So that's where we're getting this data, and we're going to give the data to the clinics so that they can then, when they identify those people. And we use the data to group the problems. Now, we're still doing that, but we're also using the data to identify each incident. So, and this is this concept of the missed opportunities. Here's data on our different clinics. showing the number of missed opportunities and what basically by this data that we've been able to generate, we can identify a list for each clinic to use to identify each child who has had a missed opportunity and to enable them to problem solve for each missed opportunity. They had started to do this kind of with a random draw, but if you're at 80%, you know, and you pull five kids, you know, you're going to be lucky to get one of those kids as a missed opportunity. So, and as you get better, the random draws are not going to be that effective. So having data and having good data systems is kind of critical. And the list is also categorized by reasons for missed opportunities, such as true missed opportunities, late starts in receiving missed immunization. So if they're late because they started late, then we need to develop interventions to get them earlier. So there's different kinds of groupings that we've come up with in analyzing this data. So we're still doing that, but that's at more at an enterprise level, but each clinic still needs to look at these problems individually. So this is just the diagram again, and we feel that even within the next 6 to 8 months, we're going to be making a great deal of progress, so that blue line will go well over the 90%. We don't have to quibble over if we're at 90 or not, and that pink line will also be going over the 90% at that time. So, and it's been I think initially we thought we were going to get this done in 6 months or something, but it actually has taken a little bit longer. I think the lessons learned though have been very important. I think for our organization, but there might be a lot of other organizations in public health that might learn from it also. So we're looking forward to publishing and presenting this more. So here's a couple of our contacts, by the way. Dr. Sabah is our champion for QI. He's the medical director, and he's been extremely instrumental, as have a number of other people. And my contact information is there also. So thank you very much.
Phil, thank you. That was an outstanding presentation, and the one point that I think you really made was in the context of small QI and big QI that several people have referred to is not only is quality improvement methods and techniques, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a way to manage an organization. And I think you really pointed that out. Could you comment on that quickly?
Yeah, I actually, it's a little bit of a point of conflict between, I think with our QI office overall, with the overall organization, because they've been so involved in QI techniques, and they haven't been appreciated for their expertise, and they really do have a lot of expertise. But if it doesn't end up resulting in basically the benefits of QI, which are everybody owning the problems and at all kinds of levels, then we're not going to actually benefit from it. I mean, I think that we're seeing, and that's where the QI culture is coming, I think is changing within our organization. We're starting to see the benefits of that as we involve more people in the decision making, as we start to use data, particularly related to evidence-based approaches. As we combine those things, then the organization overall starts to change, and I think it really is, I think that's a critical component, is this is not kind of just a thing to do, the latest fad. It is really the way of organizing and managing how an organization functions. And public health has been a little bit slow to come by, and thanks to Robert Wood Johnson for moving us forward in regard to it.